Remind you again, this is the Bible Fellowship broadcast. This is Mr. McNeil speaking to you now. And today I want to draw your attention to two incidents recorded for us in the Gospel according to Mark. At the end of chapter 1, we have the incident concerning the cleansing of a man who was a leper. It reads like this: "And the leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him, and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him, and sent him away at once. And he said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' But he went out and began to proclaim it freely, to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." Now that ends chapter 1 of Mark's Gospel. But now, right at the beginning of chapter 2, we are brought face to face with another incident. Let me read that one to you. "And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. And immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four. When they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.' But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Arise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go your way to your house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." I trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our hearts before Thee. We thank Thee for the word that has just been read. We praise Thee, O God, for the privilege of being able to broadcast Thy word freely in this land of ours. We ask now that all who are listening to this broadcast may be blessed in their own souls, that some who are in need of the Savior today may learn what it means to turn in true repentance and trust the Lord Jesus. We think of others who know Him as Savior. We pray their hearts may be encouraged. Hear us in these things. Exalt the name of Thy beloved Son as we ask it, giving thanks in His worthy name. Amen. Now, I have reasons for reading to you these two incidents, because in a previous study we were looking at some of the incidents that took place in one day of the Savior's life. Now here we're looking now at two other incidents that are brought together. The one has to do with the cleansing of a man who was a leper, and then the healing of the man who was a paralytic. Now, might I suggest that just before you look at the cleansing of the leper, there's a little statement made by the Lord. After he had had a busy day, and other men were sleeping in their beds, the Lord Jesus Christ rose early in the morning. He left the home a long while before daylight, it says. Now, daylight in that part of the country is usually about 6 o'clock in the morning. So a long while before daylight he had got up. He went away out into a solitary place and there was engaging in prayer. Try to picture that in your mind. The Lord Jesus was kept so busy helping other people that he had to retire, as it were, to a desert place. And in order to get a little time of quietness, in order to spend time in fellowship and in communion with his Father in heaven, he had to go away out of the house very, very early in the morning to a solitary place. Now, when the others woke up, they couldn't find him. They were searching for him and he was gone. Then after a time, they found him and they gave him this message. They said, "Where have you been? Don't you know that everyone is looking for you? They're searching for you all over." You see, no doubt the crowd had been quite interested in some of the incidents that had happened the day before. How that he had cast the unclean spirit out of the man who was in the synagogue. How he had healed Peter's mother-in-law, who was gripped with that great fever. And how he had been healing all the people who had gathered round the doorway of the house. And when the new day dawned, they were all ready again, searching for him to see what was going to happen now, and they couldn't find him. He was having some private meditation and communion with his Father. But when they found him, I want to draw your attention to this, that he was quite willing, as it were, to be disturbed in order to go out again to help men and women. And when you come to verse 38 of chapter 1, it's interesting to notice he says, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And while all the people were looking for him in Capernaum, and he might have gone right down into Capernaum and found a great audience, people ready to watch him and listen to him, he said, "No, we've got to go to other places. For this purpose I have come forth." So he indicates here that one of the reasons why he came from heaven, one of the reasons why he had entered out into his public ministry, was to go to different towns, different villages, different cities, in order to reach the greatest number of people with the gospel. Now, it's when he goes out then to those other cities that we find this first incident brought before us. Again, I want you to notice, according to verse 39, he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee. And while he was preaching, he was casting out demons. Interesting to notice this, that first of all, he had a message for the people who were thronging around him, people who were listening to him in the synagogues, preaching to them concerning the kingdom of God. But there was opposition around him from the sinister, unseen world the demons were there all right, and many of the people were possessed with these evil spirits. But he shows his power, demonstrating that the power of the kingdom was present in their midst because the king was there. Although, remember, Mark is not presenting him as the king. That was Matthew's prerogative. Mark is presenting him here as the perfect servant of God, and he has the power over those demons. Now, it's at that point that we're introduced to this rather interesting incident where he cleanses the leper. I might draw your attention to this, that as you read through the scriptures, I think I'm correct in saying you never read of lepers being cured. They're always cleansed. And perhaps you're saying, well, what's the difference? Simply this. When it speaks of the cleansing of a leper, it reminds us that leprosy was that which defiled people. People who were lepers, you know, they were isolated from others, especially during the time when the disease was contagious. They had places for them outside of the city during the time when other people could take the disease from them. And so the leper was always looked upon as being a defiled person. Back in the Old Testament, if the leper saw someone approaching him, he had to put his finger over his lips and he had to cry, "Unclean, unclean." That was the warning that he gave, lest these people should come near and also take this disease from him. So therefore, the picture of the leper is always one of uncleanness. It sets before us the picture of the sinner. You know, sin is a very defiling thing. Sin makes us unclean. And in our uncleanness, we're not fit for God's presence. But isn't it remarkable that in the Bible, the leper knew this, and he had to cry, "Unclean." The trouble today is that a great number of people will not admit their uncleanness. They will not admit that they are sinners. Now, I want you to notice that in this connection here, this leper comes to the Savior, and he comes kneeling down and imploring him, begging him, and he's saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." See, the man knew that he required to be made clean, and now he acknowledges that here is one in the midst who is able to perform this act for him and make him clean. Now, I like the words at verse 41, "Then Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.'" Have you ever thought of this incident? The man who was a leper, no doubt, was a man who was concerned. What would you be, my friend, if you were in his position and condition? Wouldn't you feel concerned about yourself? Now, this man was not willing just to accept the position without having some concern. The man knows what the outcome will be. And I wonder, how did the people treat him? May I suggest the multitudes would treat him with contempt. When they saw him come near, they would get out of his way. They would look upon him as being a useless kind of a character. Why? The stamp of death is already upon him. He's a leper. And in due course, he'll die of leprosy. So therefore, they would treat him tempt. And here is a man concerned about his own case, being treated with contempt by the crowd. But alike, when the Lord Jesus saw him, he was moved with compassion. You know, it's wonderful. It may be that we look upon people today and we see them on the streets. Ah, you may look upon them and say, "He's a useless kind of a person, that." We may look at some of our young folks who have got into trouble, and we may say of them, they'll never be any good for anyone. Oh, my friend, let us remember this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ looks upon sinners, he looks upon them with compassion. Ah, there are some people today who are like this leper. They are living defeated lives. Sin has taken hold upon them. They've no power to cleanse themselves. They've no power to rectify the thing that is wrong. You may put them in prison for a given time, and when they get out, they go back and do the same things again. But here was a man. The people may have been despising him. They may have been treating him with contempt, but the Lord had compassion on him. And it may be that we have failed here, or there may be people today walking our streets. It may be that someone's listening to me, and you have a son, or you have a daughter that's gone away from home, and you don't know how they're living, and it's breaking your heart when you think of the depth to which they have sunk. May I suggest, we need to have hearts moved with compassion. And perhaps my message is reaching someone today who is just like this leper. Friend, you've been living a defeated life. You've been rebelling against the principles of morality. You've been seeking to do your own thing, and remember, you're paying an awful price. And perhaps you're saying to yourselves, if only I had my time back, if only someone had helped me. Friend, don't give up. Do what this man did. He came kneeling down to the Savior, and he begged the Savior, and he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Do you realize the Savior can cleanse your life, my friend? I care not how far you've drifted away. I care not how dark your outlook may be. I care not how defiled your life may be. Christ can cleanse you. He can give you a new start. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him. You see, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said, I am willing, be cleansed. But notice, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him. This was not a process, you know. Oh no, this was a crisis. When the Lord said, be clean, the man was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away. Now watch what he did. First of all, when he restored him to his correct health, he wanted him to live a life that was holy. He wanted him now to submit to the law of Moses. He says, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. See, he wanted the man now to have things put right in every area of his life. He must put things right now, and he must be declared clean. But instead of that, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in the desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Now this brings us now to the second incident. He has cleansed the man of his leprosy. But now he is another man who can't come to him. When he came into Capernaum, and he went again into a house, and there was a great crowd gathered. No longer was there room for them to get into the house. But they were pressing around the door, a great crowd at the door. And he was preaching to the people in the house, and no doubt those at the door could hear. But here there comes four men, and they're carrying a fifth man. Now, may I suggest that here we have the exhibition of fellowship. Four men, and they're carrying one man on his stretcher. And when they came there, they couldn't get him in. Now, they were desirous of bringing him to the Savior, but there were difficulties in the way. The crowd were gathered round the door. They couldn't get in through the crowd. What are they going to do? Here we have the exercise of faith. They determined to get this man to the Savior. And so they got him there, even if it meant going up the stair onto the flat roof. and destroying part of the roof, breaking through in order to let him down on his stretcher, which is called his bed, and to let him down in front of the Saviour. Here, I suggest, is the exercise of faith. And you know, verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith. Now, it's a remarkable thing how the man who was the leper, when he came to Jesus, he expressed his own faith. He said, if thou wilt, if you're willing, you can make me clean. There was an expression of faith. But here in chapter 2, it's their faith. Not only the man who was lying on the couch being willing to let them bring him, but the four men who were willing to bring him. There was an exhibition of fellowship. They joined forces in order to get this fellow to the Saviour. There was the exercise of faith in bringing him down through the ceiling, getting him down to the Saviour. Then there was the experience of forgiveness. Now watch how the Lord dealt with this man. He deals with the holy side of things first. For he looked at the man and he said, son, your sins are forgiven you. That's it. He starts off, you see, with the holy side of things. The man's relationship to God has got to be dealt with first. My friend, listen. If you're troubled today and you're burdened because of the life of sin you've been living, because that burden is bearing you down, remember there is forgiveness of sins. The Lord Jesus can speak forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven you. Wouldn't you like to hear those words spoken to you? Oh, here is the experience of forgiveness spoken by the Lord. But there were those around there who were fault-finding people. They've got to be exposed. So the Lord exposes the fault finders. They're saying, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now there's some truth in that. Only God can forgive sins. Forgiveness is from God. The Bible says concerning Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. God can forgive sins. What they didn't realize is that this man, whom they called Jesus of Nazareth, was God manifest in the flesh. God was in the midst. The kingdom was at hand. And so, they began to question. They began to find fault. But then, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves. He said, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Is it easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say unto you, arise, take up your bed and go your way to your house. You see, he dealt with the man's relationship to God first, and then he dealt with his health next. And so therefore, there is the enjoyment of fullness for this man. His sins are forgiven him. Then he's able to take up his bed, and he's able to walk. No longer does he require the four men to come and carry him on his couch. Oh, here was a man who went in through the roof, but he came out through the door. A man who went in being carried on his bed, but he came out carrying his bed. A remarkable thing. See, the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with people. He knows exactly what we need. He was able to give cleansing to the leper. He was able to forgive sins and give power to the man to walk correctly amongst his fellows. My friend, you're listening to me today. May I ask you, do you know anything of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Have you been cleansed from the defilement of sin? Have you been raised up to walk a new kind of walk, to live a new kind of life, not like the man who is a paralytic, unable to help himself, but Christ could help him.